You don't hear hardly anything today about, well, you know, suffering or persecution or repenting and so forth. Listen, many pulpits, they neglect teaching God's wrath and His judgments. They neglect teaching the whole counsel of God. They neglect winning the lost.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Mystery of God, from his continuing study of the New Testament book of Revelation. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
What the angel's oath does mean when he took that there, yes, there is a time limit. Therefore, there shouldn't be a delay no longer, and a delay about what? Verse 7. In other words, the seventh trumpet judgment is about to sound. So that means that the prayers of the tribulation saints, oh man, it's about to be answered because time is now starting to run out for the inhabitants of those on earth, the unbelievers. So we live right now in the divine time of God's delay, don't we? Right now, the long-suffering of God. In other words, He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and so forth. So He wants them all to come to repentance and so forth, the world. God loves the world, the people of the world. And it says there should be no longer delay. Now watch verse 7, and watch the word days. It's plural. But in the days, meaning the seventh trumpet, okay, of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, that happens in chapter 11, verse 15, when he is about to sound, and here it is, the mystery of God, the hidden secret plan of God that is impossible to find out, the mystery of God would be what? Finished, teleo. Completely finished, completely fulfilled, as He, meaning God, declared to His servants, the prophets. And so the divine patience and long-suffering of God is now coming to an end. God is getting ready to wrap all the things up on planet Earth. And the word finished is very important because it means it has never occurred. Like the preterists teach that, you know, this has already happened. It hasn't happened. It is yet future. Amen? Very important to look at it that way. Now, what did He declare to His servants and the prophets? You could go back to Ezekiel, Daniel, all the way through. All the prophets declared this. One day, God is going to judge man's sin. Amen? And then He's going to usher in His kingdom, the millennial reign, there on earth. But look right now. I want you to look over at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. All you have to do is look right across the page, I hope. And look at this with me. And it says, then the seventh angel sounded. Now, that's the seventh trumpet judgment, okay, which when that sounds, it starts the seven bowl judgments, all right? It says, so the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven. And look what they said. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. The kingdoms of this world, in context here, though, it means the kingdom, the world itself, which is under the rule of the Antichrist, under the rule of Satan, if you will. So the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. And I love this. And He, not man, He, Jesus, and He shall reign forever and ever and ever. That means man's rule is over. Satan's rule is over. At the second coming, the millennial reign, Christ rules, and that's yet future. Amen? So when you study out the mysteries of God, when it's, you know, a mystery of God is not like, you know, you can, like a mystery book, okay? The mystery of God is something which is just totally and completely unknowable. It cannot be solved by man. It has to be revealed to us by God because it's His divine secret. Does that make sense? Very, very important. So there are many mysteries in the Word of God. It's so wonderful to go and study them all out. That divine truth that's hidden in the heart of God, yet not yet revealed? Like, for example, look at the Old Testament prophets. Did they even have a clue that there was going to be a church? No, they didn't see that at all. They didn't understand it. So when you think about the mysteries, how about this one? Let me give you a few. The mystery of Israel's blindness, Romans 11, 25. I'd study that one out. Or the mystery of the rapture and the resurrection where we get our new bodies, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Or the mystery of lawlessness, man, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. Here, when we look at the word, the mystery of God, this is now referring to the whole purpose and the whole plan of God. All of it. I mean, from start to finish. I mean, have you ever asked yourself, and I know you have you ever asked yourself, why did God even allow the tempter in the Garden of Eden? Do you know why? No, you don't know. I don't know either. I'd like to know. I wish it never had happened, but it did happen, didn't it? I mean, why did you even plant the tree? I mean, Lord, why did you create that tree? You got two trees. I got one thing I can't do in the whole garden. One thing. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat of it, you shall die. You know, that one tree. I mean, why did he put it there? Does anyone know why? Okay. How about this one? Why has a holy God allowed evil in this world to continue so long? When we look at the evil in this world, wars after wars that accomplish, what have they really accomplished? You know what I'm saying? When we go back and we look, especially, you know, in my generation, look, what did, I don't even want to go there. I'm not going to say it. Forget it. No. Why did the righteous suffer? What are good people who help other people and all of a sudden they're murdered or this or that? And, you know, and why hell? You ever ask yourself that? I mean, why doesn't God just annihilate you? Why would God, the God of love, the God of justice, why would he allow someone to suffer in hell, outer darkness, forever and ever and ever and ever? Do you know why? I don't know why. It's, to me, a mystery. But I do know this. Here is one of the greatest revealed mysteries of all. Let me give you the scripture. Paul writes to the church at Colossae in Colossians 1:26, and he says this. He says, oh, the mystery that has been hidden from ages and from generations, all the way back from Moses until the time of Paul the Apostle. Think about that. He says, but now they have been revealed to his saints, to them, meaning his saints. It says, God willed. Remember, you can't discover God's mystery by human intellect. It has to be revealed. Amen? Okay. God willed to make it known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You ready for this mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does that blow you away? Listen, the mystery that has been hidden from all those ages, the mystery is a person. A person. The King of Kings, the Creator, Sustainer of all things, He lives in you. In you. Are you with me? Listen, Christianity, the founder, the life of the founder lives in the life of the believer. Oh my gosh. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things have passed away, all things become what? New. Praise the Lord for that. Look at verse 8 now. And then the voice, which I heard from heaven, spoke to me again and said, now here comes a command. Go take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. He wanted to make sure that he got the right angel. Amen. So I went to the angel and I said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, well, take it, eat it. That word literally means consume it. And then devour it, okay? And it will make your stomach bitter. Now, that goes for the unbeliever part. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet. That's the believer part. Sweet as honey in your mouth. So what did John do? Well, he said, then I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. To eat the Word of God, or this little book, means to receive the Word of God, okay? Now, You know, just not that this isn't really important, but if any of you ever hear this, then you'll know where it came from. You know, remember Christian Science? Mary Baker, Eddie, I think was her name. This is the verse that she used to create that, saying that little book that God revealed to her, that little book would bring spiritual healing to everybody. And she founded what's the false religion of Christian Science. Not that that's important. I just thought I'd throw that in, okay? Now, with all that being said, when John partakes and eats of the book, he now is incorporating the contents, which is God's prophetic word, into his own being. So you've heard that expression, you are what you eat. That's a very important word. I pray that all of you feed your inner man. You know, some of the best days that I have, and I haven't had them in a long time, the best time, like when I go away, Becky and I go to a cabin and can't even use your cell phones. I love to sit outside all day and just read the Word of God. Just read. Not break it down for a sermon. Just read the Word of God, feeding myself. There's nothing better than to feed yourself the Word of God. And when you study out the Word of God, it's interesting that God's Word is often compared to food. Is it called bread? Is it called milk? Is it called meat? Is Jesus the bread of life? Yes. Living water? You see what I mean? All those things. You know, the Bible's so clear. Jesus told us how we should live. He said in Matthew 4:4, man should not live by bread alone, from your own self-sufficiency, okay? He says, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. What does it say in 1 Peter, was it 2:2, isn't it? If when he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere or the pure milk of the word, where you may grow thereby. You can't grow without God's word, amen? The Bible says about Job, you want to know how Job survived all that he went through? Here it goes, Job 23:12. I have treasured the words of his mouth, God's word, more than my necessary food. God's word was more important to him than eating. It sustained him. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. There's only one way for a Christian to be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. So those are so important. And so John says, sweet and bitter. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119:103, how sweet your words are to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now listen carefully. The word of God is so sweet, amen? But it's also bitter. I mean, when you think about how sweet it is, Jesus, did he die for you and me? Did he take our place on the cross? Oh, loved one, listen. Does God love you? Is that sweet? Oh, that's sweet. How about this one? Ephesians 1:3, I think it is. What is it? That God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that sweet? How about this one? The next verse in Ephesians, I think it's 1:4. It says that God chose you in Christ or in him before time began. Now, is that a mystery? Think about that. You ever think, why did you choose him? Why am I born in America? Why are my eyes blue? Why am I this old now? You know? You know what I mean? And it's not a mystery why that one. But you follow me. I mean, it's a mystery. Why are we born in this generation? Well, because God created us for good works in this generation. Amen? Now, so that's a sweet word. Romans 8:1, therefore there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, that's a beautiful word. How about this one? One of our foundational scriptures, John 13:34-35, when Jesus says, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You know, love ye one another. And he says, as I have loved you. That's the new part, okay? And he says, by this all the world will know that you're my disciples. Boy, that's a great word. How about this one? You know, Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, then he is to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give into your bosom. With the same measure you use it, that it'll be measured right back out to you. You know what I mean? Or how about this one? 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live godly in this life will suffer persecution. Now, here's my question. Those scriptures should be sweet to every believer. But so many today, what do you mean? I got to give, I've got to serve, I've got to deny myself, I'm going to suffer persecution? And it becomes bitter to them. Listen, the word of God is sweet. Amen? Those scriptures should never, ever be bitter. And we're living in a day, especially today, loved one, when, especially in America, only the sweet parts of the Bible are being taught. You know, you don't hear hardly anything today about, well, you know, suffering or persecution or repenting and so forth. Listen, many pulpits, they neglect teaching God's wrath and his judgments. They neglect teaching the whole counsel of God. They neglect winning the lost. Jesus told us, he said this in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Sin is real, isn't it? And it's bitter. Hell is real. It's bitter. John's inner man is sweet. Oh, but then when it got down, it was so bitter. Why? He now saw what was lying ahead for the unbelieving world. You see, but we, if studying the book of Revelation, we now see too what lies ahead for the lost of this world. You follow me? And here's the deal, for a believer, and I've heard believers say, well, they're going to get it in the book of Revelation. Well, you better get on your knees and go pray about what you just said. Amen? No. Listen, prophecy of the future events should have an effect upon every Christian. Prophecy should have an effect upon every Christian. The book of Revelation should melt every believer's heart and make them fishers of men. Amen? And that is a true word, loved one. You know, J. Vernon McGee, who's in heaven, and I don't forget how to pronounce his name, Dr. Gabellini or whatever. You know, they're both in heaven. You know what they said? Let me read it. McGee said, it's unfortunate that people today will be interested in prophecy, but not in Christian living. Very good word. The other one said, many saints are more interested in Antichrist than they are in the Christ. But we don't want that being said of us. Amen? Now look at verse 11, this little book now that John 8 represents his commission. Watch this. And he said to me, the angel said to me, John, and I'm adding that of course, you must, it's a duty, you must prophesy again. Philip's translation puts it this way, it is again your duty to prophesy. And it says to many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So John eats, if I understand correctly, John now, when he ate that little book, he eats a message for the entire world during the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation period. So it says, John, you must, but you know, we must also proclaim the bitter and sweet. Amen? That's what we're called to do. You want a bitter word? Here's a bitter word. Listen carefully. You're listening live right now, the radio, whatnot. Listen to what I'm about to say. Here is a very, very bitter word from the Bible. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, we all know it, the wages of sin is death. Paul is not talking about somebody's going to go to your funeral and it's all over with, life is done. That's not what this scripture says. The Bible is the only book in the world that tells us there are three kinds of death. First, there is physical death. That's just, you're gone, okay? Your body goes into the dust from which it was returned. Then there's spiritual death, all right? Spiritual death is when a person, and we've all been there, we are dead in trespasses and in sins. And then the third kind of death is eternal death. The wages of sin is eternal death. That means eternally separated from God, his goodness, his love, forever and ever and ever and ever. In a place called hell. That's a horrible mystery, isn't it? Now, here's the sweet part. Here's the sweet word. That was bitter, but listen to this sweet word. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the bitter part. Now the sweet. But the gift, say the gift, the gift. Oh, I love that. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? The gift, not a gift, the specific gift. For God so loved the world, he gave the indescribable gift. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us when Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said in Ephesians 2:8, he says, it is for by grace that you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the, there it is, a specific, the gift of God, not of works. You can't earn it. Amen? All the works Jesus did, he completed on the cross, didn't he? It's finished. It says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation is a gift from God that eliminates all boasting. Amen? We are saved by faith alone, through Christ alone, through grace alone. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Maybe you're religious. Maybe you're listening on the radio or whatnot, online. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're visiting. Maybe you're just unsure. Maybe you stumbled in. Maybe someone brought you. I don't know. But I know really God brought you if you're here. Yes. And so, but maybe you really don't know the Lord. Maybe you know about him, but you don't know him. Well, I just read that scripture there that, you know, that the wages of sin is death, separation from God forever. But the gift of God, the gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, a gift is something you just cannot earn. You can't earn a gift. Amen? Amen. I mean, think about that. It's a gift. God says, here is my gift. You cannot earn it. And there's only one thing that you can do is receive it. Does that make sense? If I walked over here, Marshall, you want to get up?
Sure.
You see how easy that was? You see this? You know what this is? That's a $5,000. Now, wait a minute. Here is a gift. I'm cheap, but it's you follow? It's a gift. Did you do anything to get this?
No, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Did I bribe you earlier?
No,
did I say I was going to do this?
No.
It's just a gift. A cheap gift, but it's a gift. But now listen, he did not choose not to receive it. He chose to receive it. That's how you get saved. You can't do anything. You can only open your mouth and say, Jesus, be my Lord. That's all. Be my Lord. And if you don't know Christ this morning, why in God's name would you not receive the gift of Christ Jesus, who loves you and died for you? He doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to suffer there. He paid the price for all mankind. Amen?
Amen.
So you're either going to, if you don't know the Lord, you're either going to receive the free gift or you won't. And that means that you're not willing to come to him that you might be saved. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. If that's you and you say, Bill, I want to receive the free gift of salvation. I want to be saved. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. That's right. Lift your hand high so I can see it. Quickly now, lift it. Don't fight God. Lift it and put it right back down. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want that free gift of salvation. Last call. I'll not ask again. If that's you, yes, I see that. God bless you. Who else? Anyone else now? Please. Father, you saw those who lifted their hands, and you who lifted your hands online, listen carefully. All of us, those who lifted their hands to God, that is a sign of your faith saying, yes, I want to receive the free gift, which is Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want that right now. So here's what you do. You pray this prayer with me. Church, help me out right now. Say, Father, today, I want to be saved. And there's only one way to be saved. Receive the free gift. The gift of God, which is Christ Jesus. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised, if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Next time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's study of Revelation continues with the message, The Coming Temple. So please join us if you can. In the meantime, we pray that you have a wonderful day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.